Jamie and Locker with you on a Wednesday afternoon. Hope everybody's enjoying their day as we're getting set. Of course, the Stanley Cup Final about an hour away from puck drop for game number one. The Oilers and the Panthers.
It's getting close. It's getting close.
How did you not wear an Oilers jersey today? I just realized. I thought you'd be.
I don't want to talk about it. There's a reason.
Is this a superstition? It's a superstition, isn't it?
Listen, you just worry about yourself.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
Stop.
Touching the conference trophy doesn't matter. What underwear you wear, or jersey you wear, and when you wear it, and how you wear it, inside out, backwards cap, doesn't matter.
Hold on.
I don't.
I do. Oh, I do have the red underwear on. Thank you for reminding me. Whew. That one just about got past me.
Wow.
The old.
That was
Stanfield's.
I had to hide. Me and Daryl had to look away for a second here in the studio.
A double take with Daryl Davis.
Isn't this an HR thing? And plus, red underwear, they're playing the Panthers.
Yeah. Blue underwear.
What are you thinking?
I got a routine.
Uh-oh. I've stumbled into something.
Were you ever as ridiculous as this as a sports fan growing up? You had to crawl under the kids' section fence at the right time and during a Riders game to get in for free and run?
We used to do that. Sure, yeah. And then we'd be in the Rider rookie section. You'd climb the fence so you could go sit with other people because it was like...
Have the security guards chasing you all over the place. Gosh, yeah. Damn kids.
Horrible stuff happened to some of my friends getting hauled down off that fence. Yes. But no, I was never that fanatical about a team that I would change the color of my underwear or wear it backwards or turn a hat on backwards. No. So good for you, Locker.
I'm here for the team.
Yeah, apparently.
Yeah.
But what do you think of the Stanley Cup Final, Daryl? If we're putting you down for a prediction, what do you got for the Oilers and the Panthers in seven? Okay. I'm just gonna
repeat.
You and
winners?
Locker can fight here.
I was good with that. Yeah,
it's all good.
I'm a repeat winner. I think they're just too strong. I think that it's going to be seven as well.
Ooh.
Because those are exciting.
Game seven in Edmonton, loss.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. They are so deep. Adding Marchand just put them over the edge, over the top, over the edge, and over the top, to be honest. And I think their goal.
So there's no depth on.
They're a much better team. Yeah, Edmonton's a much better team, Locker. Yes, they've done some good things. You're right. And they're better than last year. But I just think so is Florida better than last year. You know, they've got deep scoring all the way through, putting Marchand on that third line. My goodness, he's just, you know, he's better than that. And Bobrovsky, to me, the best goalie in the world. And I think that he's more reliable. Yes, Skinner's played it great.
Yeah.
And he does that when he absolutely has to. There's some weird, wild stats going around. When you look, when he absolutely has to win a game, he usually does.
Yeah.
But I don't know. That's why I think it can go seven, and then the Florida Panthers just pull it out because they can and they've done it before.
A lot of conversation about what it's going to boil down to, right? And the depth comes up, the goaltending comes up, and, you know, the home ice and winning the first game and all of these narratives and conversations, storylines that we're having. The thing that I saw today that I thought was kind of interesting, it's Connor for me. I mean, I'm an Oilers fan, but it's the Connor. He is, in the last four playoffs, he is averaging 1.75 points per game.
Mm-hmm.
That's insane.
Yeah.
And Leon's 1.54, Bouchard's 1.09 in the last.
Well, Bouchard's play.
They're 1-2-3.
Yeah. Bouchard's play has stepped up so much. That's
even from the first series.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Everybody was complaining about how badly he was playing.
Well, they were putting him and Nurse together. I don't know who thought that up.
Chris Knobloch would have.
Or Paul Coffey.
Right? Maybe they thought their weaknesses would offset each other, but they had the same weaknesses, right? So and
defense.
Yeah. But their defense, that's the irony of it. Every game, Bouchard's defense has gotten better and better
because he's got the puck more often, right? He's carrying it and moving it, and then you don't have to play defense if you're moving it out. So he has gotten better in his own end, but he's also doing what he's really good at. And so is Bouchard's, you know, the same thing as Nurse. Nurse moves the puck pretty well. They move it out of their own end, and that's kind of when they started turning it around in L.A.
When they figured out how to get it out of their own end. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see, because every series, like Los Angeles, right through, every series that Edmonton's been in, there's been this conversation about how good the team is. Vegas, how great this team is, and how great they are on the forecheck, and they're going to beat Edmonton up. And you just didn't see that. And you saw Edmonton getting it out of their own. And the same thing is happening again, the same narrative. Florida's is going to beat Edmonton up in their own end, right? And so it'll be interesting to see. I think game one's going to be – tonight is – the winner is going to win.
You're predicting 6-1 tonight for the Oilers.
6-2.
6-2.
6-2 for the Oilers. Upgraded it to 6-2.
Man. Okay.
But I think it's going to be a blowout tonight.
The Oilers are doing what other teams do, what Florida does, picking on guys, looking for weaknesses, and like a hole in your shirt, you poke your finger through it all the time, and that's kind of what the Oilers are doing now. You know, they've got a Corey Perry who likes to do that stuff, right?
And is Vander Kane good at that, too.
They have a few of them, so I think that's going to help them. But there's nobody better at it than the Panthers.
A double take with Double D, Darryl Davis here on the Green Zone. Coming up, we are going to talk about the Riders getting going tomorrow, what Darryl sees from the team, also what he saw on the CFL Top 50 list with Nathan Rourke being number 7 as the top players in the league.
Do you vote?
Not anymore. No, I wasn't one of the original voters. I turned it over to the younger generation, Locker.
All right.
Probably shouldn't have. But real quick.
It almost put him in an early grade.
I know. I heard you guys chatting about that. Yeah. Jamie puts a lot of thought into that.
It was a lot more relaxing last year when I was in Europe and didn't do it.
Yeah.
But let's real briefly on the NBA final starts tomorrow. 4 Canadians, 2 starters of the OKC Thunder, of course, with Lu Dort and Shai Gilgeous-Alexander.
SGA, isn't that all they call him?
The intrigue of Oklahoma against Indiana probably doesn't have the commissioner of the NBA really thrilled with the final compared to the potential of having New York in it. But, Darryl, are you more intrigued by the NBA final than in recent years with all these CanCon connections?
Yeah, the Canadians. And Gilgeous-Alexander can become a legendary player, right? Lead the league in scoring, MVP. Lead the Western Division in scoring, Western MVP. He could lead the league in the playoff scoring and win MVP. You know the guys who have done that, right? Like Jordan, is Shaq.
Shaq's up there.
And was it Jabbar was the other one?
I think Kareem, yeah.
Yeah, and Kareem. So that puts, man, legendary. And this is a Canadian kid, right? Humble. Yeah. I like watching him being interviewed, right? He thanks his family and look, you're so impressed. And you say, hey, there's a Canadian who's actually doing so well in the sport that Americans have dominated for so well. And you think, this is terrific. It was fun watching Steve Nash do the same thing. So
he works hard, too. That's what I like.
Exactly. So, yes, Jamie, am I watching it? Oh, yeah, maybe not as, you know, as interested as I would be in hockey because, you know, we grew up around hockey. But watching a Canadian play basketball at the highest level is pretty fun.
It's awesome,
too.
Yeah.
Of course,
yeah.
You don't have to fight over it. It's a Stanley Cup final, NBA final, Stanley Cup final. But they don't.
They didn't used to cooperate that way. So it helped when
David Stern and Bettman kind of started.
They got
that
along, right? Because they'd worked together before, so they made sure
makes
that they
sense,
did.
Sense though. It's good for both leagues.
Of course it is. Yeah, and you know you're back and forth, and you're in a championship fever now, aren't we?
And I like the connection between hockey and Shaq and Barkley as well. I find it's wildly
Barkley and Shaq, they're all aboard the Oilers bandwagon. Yeah.
Shaq Hyman.
Yeah. Coming up next.
There's a loss. There's somebody we always forget.
That's huge.
That's a huge loss.
The fact that Connor Brown's back tonight, though, makes up for it a bit.
Helps out. But Hyman's just,
that's a massive loss
this time of the year,
We're going to get to the Riders coming up with Darryl Davis. Will he give us a win prediction? Or is he going to wait for tomorrow? Or not at all? We'll find out next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Double take with Double D, Darryl Davis, Canadian Football Hall of Fame reporter. And, of course, Sarah, one of our game day analysts with Belton Johnson. Tomorrow, 5 o'clock, the pregame show for game number 1 of the regular season. Britton Gray has the Riders in the Grey Cup against Ottawa. I have the Riders in the Grey Cup against Montreal. Belton has the Riders in
the
Grey Cup.
You like Davis Alexander, eh?
I think he's a good young kid. But it's just what they have around Davis Alexander. Their receiving core is ridiculous from top down. Their defense is amazing. So, Darryl Davis.
First year as a starter, Davis Alexander, full-time starter. He's leading them to the Grey Cup, Davis Alexander.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
MOP, too.
Okay. Interesting.
Arbuckle. As a backup, won a Grey Cup.
I think they'll play Ottawa in the East Final. In Ottawa. But
that's the team I want to see on Thursday night, right? They're here in Mosaic Stadium, so I want to see if they're any good. To me, they're still a great unknown. Can they make that step? Do they have the coaching staff? Do they have the personnel? Yeah, good. The East is a toss-up. I heard you talking yesterday. That's a pretty bold prediction, Jamie. The two
East Division crossover.
That's pretty bold, man. But maybe they're stronger than the West because there's some weak sisters in the West, right?
So how do you see this season playing out for the Riders? You have it in print. I know that.
Yeah, I wrote in the Leader Post this week, 11-7, and they're going to make it to the Grey Cup, Jamie. I didn't predict who they're going to face or if they're going to win, but I think they're the best team in the West at the moment. I think they'll host the West Final. Winnipeg has slipped a little bit. I know it didn't show in the preseason, but what do you get out of the preseason other than this guy can play and this guy can't play? So they're a solid team. I think the coaching staff has put in place everything they need to have. The culture, the feeling, the camaraderie, the strength. Jeremy O'Day has put together a very solid team. You know, you watch their offensive linemen fall by the wayside, and they seem to be able to patch them in. They've kept all their all-stars from last year, and they filled in the two or three holes that they really needed to fill in. They're a very strong team, and I can't see anybody being better than them in the West.
West was pretty weak last year, but there's been a lot of changes, and you know, teams are starting to get their stuff together, right? Or from top down, Edmonton, if you take a look at what they've done. But does that translate to success on the field, Darryl?
Well, they need to get better. The teams in Edmonton and Calgary especially, right? Yeah. And BC, I know that could be a great team depending on their quarterback, who you can talk about anytime you want, Jamie. But Edmonton and Calgary, you know, to me that's been the biggest disappointment the last few years, or the thing that's hurt the league. They used to be these great franchises, the models for everybody else to follow. Now they have, for recently, not very good teams and not very good crowds.
And not very good reputation for how they're run organizationally.
Exactly. It's really changed. You know, it's the power has swung to other teams now. So they're still, in my mind, they're still bringing up the rear. They have a lot of ground to gain before they can compete for the West Final.
Okay, we got 60 seconds. Nathan Rourke, 7th on the CFL's top 50 list. Do you think that is an accurate spot for Nathan Rourke to stand going into 2025?
Not after last year, no. He's certainly a top 50 player, but I don't think he's a top 10 player. He's 15, 20 or something. You know, it's supposed to do this, Jamie. That's what the TSN poll is supposed to do, make us talk about it, right? Disagree with this, agree with this. I heard Britton.
He might still be tearing his hair out.
He's peeking in the windows here to see. What are you guys going to say about this?
He's going to be mad at you that you'd put him in the top 20.
Oh, really? You don't think he's a top 20?
I didn't even have him in my top 40.
Oh, jeez.
Well, when you have to do it, you have 16 extra guys, and it's only one quarterback. Yep. You only have one quarterback on your original 24 list.
Okay. But it's a projection, too. It's
how you feel, and how do I put him in front of Trevor Harris and Trey Ford and Vernon Adams and Chad Kelly and Drew Brown and Bo Levi Mitchell? Like, and then you're at seven quarterbacks, and you
surprised.
Have to fill out more receivers in there, and you're like, sorry, Nathan.
Yeah.
Prove it to me, and I'll put you on this year.
I was surprised that Bo made it to number 3.
Number 3, yeah, I know.
That seemed high to me.
Like, they benched him last year.
That's right? What I was,
For a snap or two.
Well, because Taylor Powell got hurt, right?
Yeah.
They were going to replace him as starting quarterback, and they ended up yelling at him. Milanovic yelled at him, told him to play better, and he did play better.
He did he ever. And that went Hamilton team, Ottawa. I think the beast is in the East this year in the Canadian Football League, aside from the green and white. Darryl, I'll see you tomorrow.
All right, 5 p.m.
Have 5 p.m. tomorrow is the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and Locker with you here on the Green Zone as we near puck drop in Edmonton, Alberta. We're asking your predictions, by the way, 1-877-332-8255 on the Stanley Cup Final. What are the numbers, Locker? What are we looking at? The Oilers taking a
4-point lead.
It was back and forth.
It was neck and neck right up until the last, I'd say, 45 minutes.
1-877-332-8255 is the fan line here on the Green Zone. If you want to weigh in before puck drop, who you got in the Stanley Cup? How many games will this one last? Locker's going Oilers in seven.
Six. I have six.
I thought you moved it to seven.
No.
Oh, Britain moved it to seven.
Yeah,
I'm saying Oilers in five, like the great Evan Bray has the Oilers in five as well.
And
Drew would not make a prediction.
No.
And
I'm trying
Darryl
to remember if
said,
I wrote Daryl's down. No, I did.
Daryl's saying Florida in seven. Heartbreak in Edmonton for game seven from Daryl Davis. Drew Romenda, our NHL analyst, breaking things down as you look at the series back and forth, the strengths, the weaknesses, Oilers and Panthers, everybody's saying they're better than they were last year for both these teams. So does it just come down to Bobrovsky and Skinner?
It probably comes down to that, without a doubt. I think it's a great observation by you. I look at this team, at these two teams, and you're right, they both have made improvements. I think the most noticeable one is the way that the Edmonton Oilers have played in this playoffs, as we've talked about many, many times, away from the puck. Their checking has become as good as the Florida Panthers checked last year. And the Panthers trying to, as you said, do a little bit better offensively, and they've been able to spread it around. And it's amazing for me with the Panthers because they lost quite a few very, very key pieces to free agency, which teams who get into deep in the playoffs and you have free agency. The Oilers lost a couple with the restricted free agent offers, that you lose some of your personnel, but you're able to restock and then still improve. But when you look at it, if I looked at like today, I'm looking at these two teams. So you look at the forwards, you give the edge to the Edmonton Oilers. If you look at the defense, I'll give the edge to the Florida Panthers, but it's not by a heck of a lot. But still, I think I give them the edge. And then in goal, just based on history, Sergei Bobrovsky. So I would give them the edge there. But the way Skinner's played in the playoffs, you would have to go, yeah, but look, that's a very close second, especially the way that he was pulled out unceremoniously, then put back in because of an injury, and then after that, he has been nearly unbeatable. So when you look at the two teams, they're very, very evenly matched with the edge here and there. Really, it's a matter of guys, when you look at this playoff series, or really any series, but this series in particular, that it's the team that gets to their game as quickly as possible. It gives their team the chance to get some traction and holds on to that traction for as long as they can. And this series, I'm expecting, is going to be a grinder. It is going to be one in the trenches, as they say, as you guys have been talking football now, because Ryder's coming back. It's one in the trenches. It's going to be a series where blocking shots, checking, being physical, getting to the front of the net, both your net and their net, is going to be monumental in winning hockey games and winning that series.
So, Drew, in saying that, right off the hop, you would go, okay, Florida Panthers. They have the Tkachuk, the Marchands, the Bennetts, the Reinhardt. They have a better muck it up, get to the dirty areas game.
Yeah.
Or do they? Are you seeing a more, I don't know, greasy Edmonton Oilers team in these playoffs that can do those things better than they could last year?
I've seen them defensively be better than they were in front of their own net and in the neutral zone than they were last year. They're still a team that if they get that power play opportunity, look out, it's lights out, because they've got so many different opportunities. And Corey Perry adds that change in front of the net, but Dallas didn't adjust and didn't cover him. But they can go, Connor can go cross to Leon, he can go to the front of the net, he can go back to Bouchard for the shot from the point, or he can just damn well score himself. So if they get that power play opportunity, they're still going to be very dangerous. But they're not as greasy in front of the net as Bennett, Reinhardt, Tkachuk, and any other, Gadjevich, you name it, that line, those guys, that team, their forwards are relentless in front of the other team's net, and their defense were really good in front of their own net. But the Oilers have done an outstanding job, and you watch that Dallas series, I was amazed over and over again when Dallas even was able to work to get a chance. If once they finally got the puck into the offensive zone, once they finally worked to get a chance, how many Edmonton Oilers jerseys were in front of the net? There's a John McCarthy, who coaches the San Jose Barracuda, played in the NHL, terrific, terrific guy, and really a wonderful coach. He has a saying, you got to be hard at your net, or hard at their net, harder at ours. That's the way you've got to be playing the game all the time and getting to that front of the net. And if you look at where the majority of grade A, well, any really great chance is, it's at the net. But it's not the first chance. It's the second and third chance. And even when there was with Dallas a first chance, the Oilers had so many bodies there and did such a good job blocking out and locking out the middle that there wasn't very many second and third opportunities.
Hearing Oilers comment, Drew, a lot about it starts in our end. And yeah. And so that sort of lends to the conversation that that we're having with you today too. I have a question about some of the other, you know, narratives that people are throwing around about this particular series. One being the first game, winning that first game in a best of seven, and just the importance of it. And then two, is there any advantage to home ice in this series, in your opinion?
That's a great question. The home ice one's a great question. The first game is always important. I can't remember the stat, but it's a high percentage, a favorable percentage if you win the first game in any best of seven, especially in the Stanley Cup final. As far as home ice advantage goes, you know, it's really interesting when you look at home ice advantage that it's not like it used to be, guys. When I first was in the league in 91, you know, there was the Boston Garden, the old Boston Garden. There was the old Maple Leaf Garden. There was the old Joe Louis Arena. There was the older arenas where Chicago Stadium, where you actually had to walk upstairs to get to the ice. And you were walking amongst the crowd, and it was really intimidating. It's not as intimidating anymore because so many guys have been to different teams, and they're kind of used to the surroundings. But I think this whole thing this year, there will be that, there's always that sway, there's always that juice that a team gets. Going back to, you know, my experience with the Sharks, that first time we made the playoffs and played Detroit, guys, I couldn't believe how loud that arena was when the eighth place team went out there to play the first place team, who finished 35 points ahead of us. But it's amazing the energy you get. And when you get down on the bench, it's palpable. You can feel it. And yeah, it does matter. Without a doubt, it does matter. That's why I think the first question, Walker, or the first part of that question, home ice advantage versus, or I'm sorry, winning the first game versus home ice advantage, how big of a difference will it be? I think you'll see if the Oilers are able to win tonight.
In the history of the Stanley Cup playoffs, this isn't the finals. This is just the overall playoffs. If the home team wins game number one, they win 75% of the time.
Wow.
If the home team wins, if the away team wins, it's 56.8%. So,
isn't that something?
That's crazy.
It's going to be huge for the Oilers tonight with a win just based on that historical data. Drew Romando with us. The Stanley Cup final game number one goes tonight in Edmonton, the Florida Panthers and the Oilers. How big of an addition is it to get Connor Brown healthy and ready to go for the Oilers?
I think that physical aspect that we talked about that the Florida Panthers use on their side, Connor Brown has certainly brought that for the Edmonton Oilers. He gets in on the forecheck. He plays a physical game. He gets to the front of the net. He doesn't shy away from that stuff. So it does bring them an advantage without a doubt. You know, you guys have been throwing back Jeff Skinner back and forth, and both of you had good points regarding Skinner. But the physical element of Skinner versus Connor Brown, there's no comparison because one is physical, the other isn't. And physical is going to matter. The goal is going to be hard to come by no matter what. Physical is going to matter in this series. This is going to be a series, I do believe, that is going to be who just finally loses the will to keep battling. And that's going to be a long test of attrition, without a doubt.
Finally, Drew, some other news and notes from around the NHL. Before, who's Dan Muse, the new coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins?
A very young guy, 42 years old only, but he's still got 20-plus years of experience. Coached the under-18 U.S. team to a gold medal. He's worked his way up, guys. He's gone from prep schools to Yale to USHL, where he won the Clark Trophy. He has then, you know, with Peter Laviolette, he's worked with Peter in Nashville and then in New York. He's a guy who really does a great job developing players, which the Pittsburgh Penguins are going to need because that's what they're going to have to do over the next few years to get back to being the Pittsburgh Penguins. It's going to be very interesting, but I think with Dan, he brings a history, a resume of being able to work his tail off, number one. He's one of the hardest working guys you're ever going to meet. He's a guy who is good at developing players. He's also a guy that's able at a young age to be able to relate to players nowadays. And I think it's an out-of-the-box pick, but I like it. I like the fact he gets some new blood in the coaching room.
As do I, with Dan Muse being the new head coach of the Pittsburgh Penguins rather than just the recycled, you know, stereotypical merry-go-round that goes around with NHL coaches.
Is that the last vacancy? I think it is. That was the last. Today was the last of the eight.
Boston hired one?
No, Boston. We have one left. That's right. One left. Okay.
I was like, wait, I know there was rumors that they're down to two more and announced early this week, potentially.
I want Woodcroft to get that Boston gig.
Marco Sturm is one of those being discussed as well. For the Boston Bruins vacancy. But, of course, we're about 20 minutes away. Still taking your predictions. What do you think, Stanley Cup final, Oilers or Panthers? Who wins the series? A lot of the panel's going with the Oilers, except for Daryl Davis. He's going with the Florida Panthers in seven games. Champs and Chumps next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.
You two are winners.
I think you're shagadelic, baby. You're switched on. You're smashing.
You tried your best, and you failed miserably.
The only thing I'm addicted to right now is winning.
You're an idiot.
You're a bad person.
Each and every day, a one champ, one chump. The chump on this is on behalf of Britton Gray. The chump today is those who put Nathan Rourke in the top 10 of their top 50 CFL players of the year ballot. If you put Nathan Rourke in your top 10, you are a chump. That is on behalf of Britton Gray, Green Zone Rider Reporter.
Britton had a bad day today, and
I couldn't believe when we brought up his eye actually twitched when I said CFL top 50 list.
That could be something
from
else.
TSN.
But I think that played a part in it.
Our champ here on the Green Zone. I love a good bet. I love a good bet. So be watching, NFL fans. Derrick Henry has been promised a role in Adam Sandler's next movie if he hits a milestone. As Dan Patrick has said, for 2,000 yards last season, wasn't that important to him. But Adam Sandler, if he hits 2,000, Adam Sandler will give him a role in an upcoming movie for Derrick Henry.
It's very entertaining because I watched the interview. Derrick Henry was like, oh, because Dan was like, I know Adam Sandler. I can get you in a movie. And he's like, what? You can? Well, then I'm going to do it. And then he's looking around. You can tell he's talking to the people in his room. He's going, he just said it. Did you hear it? He just said it. He's going to get me in an Adam Sandler movie. It was hilarious.
So look for Derrick Henry after getting 2,000 yards this year for the Baltimore Ravens to potentially be in an Adam, what is it, Happy Gilmore 3?
Well, he does, maybe? Adam will put his buddies in his movies all the time. He's constantly giving his buddies cameos, so it wouldn't surprise me to see Derrick Henry show up.
Look at the cast list of every Adam. There's eight guys who are in every damn movie Adam Sandler makes.
Oh, but there's like 60 people in that Happy Gilmore 2. That's coming out in July on Netflix.